Henri, you were one of the first people ever to do sound poems. Do you know if you were the very first or not?
Oh, yes. In 1951, probably Volman, Gilles Volman, with a great performance in Musée de l'Homme in Paris. And in 1953, he was François Dufresne, first exhibition in UNESCO. UNESCO.
UNESCO.
UNESCO, good. Oh, thank you. And after Bernard Heidsieck, 1955, and me, 1955, too. Bernard Heidsieck in Paris, and me in Ile de Ré, near La Rochelle. And after Paul Devray in Belgium, and Brian Gysin in Paris, too. Brian Gysin is American.
What did you do before you did sound poetry?
Ah, la différence.
No. Mm. Qu'est-ce que tu as fait avant la poésie sonore?
Oh, bon, là tu vas m'aider. Hein? Ah. I'm sorry for my English.
That's okay. You say.
J'étais un poète oral de théâtre et de radio.
Oral poetry, but for theater and radio more than anything else.
Je travaillais à la radio française.
French radio, there was... a little written poetry too, mm-hmm. but mainly oral.
Mais les gaullistes m'ont mis dehors.
Yes, the gaullists didn't want him on French radio anymore.
So you began as a poet, not as a musician.
Oh, ça c'est un grave problème toujours, la différence entre les poètes et les musiciens.
Non, non, non. Toi, tu as commencé en poète et pas en musicien.
Oui, on a, yeah. Mais tout le monde d'ailleurs.
Yeah, he's not a musician.
Nous
he began
écrit,
from j'ai... words, from poetry, that
oui.
gradually changed. And you can follow throughout it how it did change, how the words gradually disappear. Ah. It's very easy to see how it happened.
Oui, le problème c'était de décomposer le langage pour en trouver les particules intérieures.
Yes, you can see the way in which he took language to bits and tried to get all the various particles out of it, what he calls the microparticles, truly, in fact.
Une toute petite démarche, par exemple, Joyce, James, décompose le langage pour le recomposer, mais ne fait jamais de choses phonétiques.
Yes, Joyce broke up language, recomposed it, but didn't do anything phonetic with it. And they went a step further.
But the Dada poets did. They broke it up and made phonetic poetry.
Dada with Hugo Ball, Raoul Haussmann, Tristan Zara, and independent Pierre-Albert Biro in 1918. Mm. But with only letters, not phoneme, only letters.
Oh, yes, with letters, not phonemes they used. Mm-hmm. But Haussmann's poems of that period, anyway, are recorded in the U records at the beginning, on the first records.
Yeah. How about Schwitters?
Ah, yes.
He used phonemes. Kurt Schwitters?
Kurt Schwitters, yes, of 1922 with Ur Sonate. Mais il était très influencé par Haussmann.
Yes, but he thinks that Haussmann influenced Schwitters, in fact, he came first.
Have you ever performed phonetic poetry other than your own?
Si j'ai fait des performances de phonétique, de poèmes phonétiques.
Qui ne sont pas les tiennes, votre chrétienne.
Oui,
tu as fait.
Pierre-Albert Biro, Raoul Haussmann, que j'ai publié.
Yes.
C'est vrai. J'étais le premier à Paris à faire réentendre en 60 la Ursonate.
Yes, he was the first one to present the Schwitters.
Oh, is that
Paris.
Right? Fantastic.
Une galerie mesure, near Boulevard Saint-Germain, Paris.
Years ago.
Ah, wonderful.
1960 or 59.
Oh, yes, 59, something like that.
Yeah. Well, for those listeners who don't know, Henri Chopin is the editor of OU, which is one of the world's foremost magazines of concrete poetry and also contains many records of sound poetry. Could you say when you began this magazine?
Oh, comment on a commencé? En 58. In April 58, near title, cinquième saison.
Which means what?
Fifth season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with only for the poet. Two departments. Mm-hmm. Traditional poet, mm-hmm. and experimental poet. Confrontation.
Yes, yeah. A confrontation.
Ah. Clear. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And after the number five, mm-hmm. Ah oui, ben là ça ira plus vite. Je publie Polieu, mm-hmm. Claude Polieu, j'étais son premier mm-hmm. éditeur.
Yes, Claude Polieu was published in the number five there.
Bernard Heitzig.
Heitzig.
Pour les textes.
Yes, that was when it began to change.
I see.
Et mm-hmm. je prépare toute la poésie sonore.
Yes, it was the beginning of the new thing he wanted to do.
And how many numbers have you got in
19, 19 for second season.
Oh yes.
And for who, the first anthology, Sound Poetry, now 15 numbers.
15 numbers, yes.
Yes.
Yes, because he changed it to who, to put a record in each one.
Oh,
he changed the format and everything.
Yes, 25 centimeters.
No. How many poems do you think you've composed, sound poems?
How many poems?
6,000, 7,000.
Il y a combien de poètes qui composent ça?
Non, toi, t'en as fait combien de poèmes?
Oh, 25, 26, no more.
Are all of them on records?
I am not prolific for this.
You're not.
Sont tous sur les disques?
Oh, few, presque. Mm-hmm. Presque. Mm-hmm. I have one qui n'est pas sur un disque, là, tiens.
Yes. They're nearly all on records, not all on his own records, and he's got one unpublished at the moment.
Ah, dis-lui que j'en ai un qui a un beau titre.
Quoi?
L'épée d'oiseau.
Yes, the last one, which is unpublished, is called, now I haven't translated into English yet, Bird Farts or Common Market Belches.
Yes, he's very short, 4 minutes.
I'm really very interested in the visual aspect of the publication. Do you do most of the visual decisions yourself? I mean, other than the things from other artists, how did you manage to get it packaged so well? Do you work with someone special, or how far does your interest go into the visual, the packaging and everything?
Si j'ai bien compris, pourquoi il y a aussi
cette partie? No, qui est-ce qui dessine tout ça? Qui est-ce qui met tout en place là?
Oh, c'est moi.
Yes, he does the whole layout. The whole
really?
Thing, yes. Most of the posters, for instance, the two you can see there, are his layout, the whole thing. He invents the boxes, the badges, the packaging, everything.
Do you have the same printer that you work with each time?
Yes, yes.
It's a very good printer, evidently, because the
package. Quel particulier, oui, very good.
Yeah.
Publicity.
Did you ever have any formal training in layout or painting or sculpture or anything, or is this just totally self-taught?
Oh, ben, j'étais imprimeur.
Yeah, he worked as a printer for some time, as a proofreader.
Ah.
It's very natural.
It just comes naturally.
It's very
that
natural.
Part, yes.
Now, Brigitte, have you published work in this magazine, OU?
Yes.
What is your work?
It's just a little poem.
Uh-huh. Can you say it?
No, because it's called...
It's visual.
Lira, lira pas.
Lira, lira pas.
Traduit, quand
même. Well, I want to go, really.
Are you interested in visual things yourself?
Yes,
you?
Very much.
Really?
Yes.
Are you an artist?
Not an artist, creative artist, no. I do art, you know, but not creation.
She's Brigitte.
Yeah.
She has. Yes. Now I have a new record for you.
Yes.
Donc, il va prendre le show.
Do you want to record some of the poetry at all or not?
Yeah. Oh. You know what I'd like to do? Is it possible for you to speak one of your early poems, which is just a phonetic piece? Because I've never heard one of the very early pieces, and then we'll play a record of some of your later ones.
Je pourrais donner une lecture d'une de ces choses écrites d'avant. La rentabilité.
Okay, good.
Je vais donner la rentabilité.
There are a lot of. You go. Go ahead, Henri. You have a lot of very beautiful paintings and artworks in here. Could you name some of the artists who are in your collection?
Well, there's Lacasse over there, Belgian, who's over 80 now, who was one of the first abstracts of 1910 painting.
That really is that old?
Yes.
Ah, it looks like it was made yesterday.
Yes, there's Man Ray up here, with Haussmann above him, the Dada Haussmann. All that art there. There's Pierre-Albert Biraud, the small things up there. There are two Czechs, one who's made the little lady over there, Ladislav Novák in the case.
Oh, Novák, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes, Novák is also a sound poet, in
that's
fact.
That's extraordinary.
And Jiří Collage, who was well known in Czechoslovakia, who did the big apple there.
Now, who did that large apple?
Collage.
They're all faces of people, or are they
faces,
faces of someone particular?
They're faces of politicians in the 18th century.
Very obscure.
Yeah, the faces
but I
are
think
obscure,
they all have a very good meaning.
The apple is about
yes.
3 feet in diameter.
Yes.
It's not new.
It's an enormous apple.
Yeah. There are two Valentine Hugo behind him. She worked with André Breton and Paul Éluard at that time. John Furnival, a British artist.
Oh yeah, he's very good.
Yes. With Marcel Kahn, who was one of the first cubists, next to him up there.
Mimo
Rotella. Mimo and Heitzig, the knife.
Yeah.
Calls La Bosse Couteau.
And
A Russian futurist in 1922, but that one was found in a dustbin.
1922, a Russian futurist,
yes.
Living in Paris then?
No, he found it in a Belgian dustbin.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
With
yeah.
one picture by Molinacci.
Ah.
Yes.
Two by Picabia.
In a dustbin?
In a dustbin.
By Cossack.
In the same dustbin.
In the same dustbin.
That's a good...
How much did it cost to get them?
Nothing.
Free.
Not in a dustbin. You just... What were you doing in the dustbin?
They got to visit the widow of an artist who just was throwing everything out and didn't want any of this anymore.
Oh.
That was it. So they just turned up the right day.
What is this piece here?
That one is Ironic Vision, Le Discours des Ministres. Je ne sais pas à peine le traduire.
It's
le titre.
The ministers talking together, if you like. Mais viens plus près.
Non, parce que je gueule.
Bon.
Project. Le ministre en chef. J'investis. Le ministre second. Je rentabilise. Le ministre en tierce. Je proroge la récupérabilité. Les trois ministres. Investissement, récupérabilité, rentabilité. L'investissement. Je ministre en chef, tu ministres en chef, il ministre en chef, nous ministrons en chef, vous ministrez en chef, il ministre en chef, je ministre en la récupérabilité. Je seconde de ministre en position 2 pour investir. La rente, je mixe, j'affecte, je chinte, je sonne. Je belle, je rente, je produis. Rentabilité. Tiers en ministre, capot, je coupe et tiers se disent d'air. Le travailleur, je tra. Tu vaille. Il bien. Nous pour, vous, la ran, vous, bilité, ta, ran, bilité, ta, oublié, il travaille. Le ministre en chef, j'investis. Le ministre second, je rentabilise. Le ministre en tierce, investi, inverti, bilili, tararan, tatata, tra, veste, mini, ministre, stress. Les trois ministres, allocation, zo pluriel, procréez et produisez pour être riche, travaillez beaucoup. La civilisation, tata, ran ran, tis tis, ves ves, bili bili. Tata, ran ran, tis tis, ves ves, bili bili. Tata, ran ran, tis tis, ves ves, bili 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 bili. Le cœur, bravo.
But you're a great performer.
You've just heard Henri Chopin reading from a work that was composed about when?
When was it? C'était fait quand?
61.
And this is typical of the things that you did in that period, and you read on the radio.
Yeah, very typical.
Uh-huh. Mm. Beautiful.
Absurdity poems by Robert Filliou, Bernard Hetzig, Emmett Williams, me, etc. Mm-hmm. Great period in Paris, after 68. Before 68.
Well, most of it took place at the American Center, in fact.
Yeah.
There in Paris.
Now tell me how long you've lived in England and why you moved away from France.
Oh, in June 68. Yes, in 2025, the Gaullist government come back after elections and forging very bad situation.
Is that right?
Yeah.
For artists or for Henri in particular?
For me in particular.
For you in particular?
Yeah.
I see.
Because they took
French
my
before.
French passport away.
They did?
Yes.
Yeah. And for me, I detest in France, Académie Française.
Yeah.
And great participation with students and revolution. Against Parti Communiste Français, French Communist Party, against Gaullist.
Which is almost synonymous.
Corps, etc.
Right. Yeah. So now that you live in England, do you find it easier to work, or just the same, or how do you relate with the people that contribute to the magazine and so forth?
No, comment est-ce que tu trouves plus facile à travailler? Est-ce que tu as des contacts avec des gens pour la revue?
Non, mais c'est pour la revue, j'ai surtout en dehors de Tom Phillips, Bob Cobbing et John Farrell. Mais il n'y a pas de contact.
For the review, I've only found 3 people. Very active in England, really, Furnival, Cobbing and Phillips. Mm-hmm. And the rest comes from elsewhere.
Je travaille avec la Suisse, Switzerland, France, Holland, Belgium, Sweden.
He travels quite a lot in fact.
Germany too.
I think we should tell people who are listening to this program that OU magazine is available and that they can write to this address and get copies. Now, could you give the American price and also the address for people who are listening, and I'll advise you to go get a pencil and make note of OU magazine. It's spelled O-U in English. And here is the address to write.
Well, the name's Chopin.
Saint-Frédéric.
Are you related, by the way?
No, my face is same.
Your face is the same. That's sort of true.
The address is the Gatehouse. Station Lane, in Gatestone.
One word,
yes. Essex.
C-A-4-O-B-L.
Yes, that's a postcode, O-B-L. But it doesn't matter.
Okay, let's give it once again now.
Spell in Gatestone, because it sounds...
Yes.
That's right. On
All
tape
right,
it might sound different.
Chopin, the Gatehouse, Station Lane, in Gatestone, INGATESTONE. Essex. In American dollars, I don't know how much the next number costs, do you?
It varies.
It changes, you see, according to what's in the number. It's £3 anyway.
£3, which would be $2.65 a pound. So multiply 3 times 265 and you've got it.
About 7.
Now, tell me this. Does a person subscribe per issue, or can you order a year's copies? How many do a year?
There's only one a year now, since he's been making the very big numbers, because you see the amount of work that goes into one number.
Absolutely.
Because you get about 8 or 10 posters in one single number, an article, a record, and it's an awful lot of work, so he now just does one a year.
One a year?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
About how many are in, how many do you publish in one issue? 100, 200, how many copies?
At the moment, 500.
500, yes. So they're really very limited.
They're very limited.
And you do also, how many special collectors?
Boxes?
Oh, 15.
15 of special.
15 special deluxe 500. Ones, yes.
Also.
With each number. Mm-hmm.
And they're usually bought by private collectors or galleries or a museum or something?
Private collectors.
Usually private.
For example, Philip Kaplan in New York.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, there's quite a few go to America, in fact. But the point is, the issues get sold so quickly that we have a few of the last one, and that's all.
Mm. Is there anyone on the West Coast that you know of that has a whole collection that you sold?
Not on the West Coast, no.
No.
The only people I know in America are the Kaplans in New York who have the collection.
They have the whole complete set.
Yeah.
But they're the only ones.
Mm-hmm. Are there many people in Europe that have the complete set?
Well, there's one man in Europe who has an amazing set because he has the number A of each number, which contains all the manuscripts, and he's got them all from the very beginning.
He's
got
a monopoly.
Whole lot. Well, now he started, he goes on and on.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And each time he gets all the manuscripts, so all the proofs, everything that went into the making of it.
Does he work at a museum, or he owns a museum, I guess?
No, he owns a bank.
Why not?
It's almost like a patron. He's very interested.
Yes, he's extremely interested. He does it... not just for, I don't know...
not just because he's a collector.
Not just because he's a collector. He's interested in it at the moment. In fact, he is publishing a book with Henri.
Oui, Jean, mais je voudrais que tu signales que j'ai quand même trié tous les bibliophiles comme lecteurs, des gens qui savent écouter et lire.
Yes, in fact, Henri insists that he won't take on any collectors who just collect to put it in a cupboard. Mm-hmm. He only lets it out to collectors who really read it and know what it's about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I wondered about is, whose work are you most interested in right now? Can you name a few people that you think are very exceptional in terms of working right now?
Mm-hmm. Parmi les poètes sonores, d'abord il y a Archizé.
And the sound poets.
Parmi les poètes sonores, il y a Sten Hansson en Suède, Swedish. Bernard Heitzig, une montée extraordinaire. Jonsson, Swedish too.
Bengt-Emil
Jonsson. Je crois que c'est à peu près tout. Et puis un jeune Portugais, Da Silva.
There's a young Portuguese who just got to know.
Du côté américain, j'ai très très peu d'informations.
Yes, he doesn't have any information about what's going on in America.
Et ça, j'en souffre beaucoup. Ça me gêne beaucoup parce que je ne peux pas. Je connais toujours Marion Gazin, bien sûr. J'ai publié Journal.
He's very good.
Mais c'est tout, et je n'ai pas d'informations au Canada non plus.
He's just published Burroughs, but that's hardly sound poetry.
That's right.
Non, il n'est pas.
So, do you know?
Et au point de vue graphique, il y a encore Bernard Heitzig, Paul Debré.
Yes.
Paul Debré a des choses très intéressantes. Et parmi les jeunes, Jean-François Bory.
Oui, Jean-François Bory,
il est
en France.
Très intéressant.
Yes.
Et il y a beaucoup de jeunes Hollandais aussi.
A lot of young people in Holland seem to be working quite out at the moment. Too.
C'est pas encore la création.
There's one with Gilles Volman, who is the oldest sound poet, although not the oldest, the first one. One of Henri on it as well. Heitzig and Dufresne, the four first ones in the sound poetry field anyway.
Yeah.
Can you describe this piece for our audience so they can know what to do?
Décrire ces pièces.
Which one, Volman?
Volman.
No, yours.
Your
no,
own.
Mine. Oh, Le Ventre de Bertini. Bertini, Gianni Bertini, is a painter, Italian painter. And, ça ira plus vite. Il mange trop vite.
He eats too quickly.
Et après, il a son ventre qui fait...
And afterwards, you hear all his stomach working.
Et... il était tellement pressé de manger qu'il faisait toujours du couscous.
Ah, and he was in such a hurry to eat that he always made couscous.
Arrosé de Pernod.
And he used to put Pernod, pastis, the French pastis, on the couscous.
On the after.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
It was.
Pauvre Bertini, On se croyait dans une usine.
Yeah. The digestion sounded rather like a factory working afterwards.
Puis on rotant, etc.
Yes. And so all the noises are accompanying that.